you look out the door and you know that it's on a pretty busy street, at least it's a street that there's a lot of traffic from time to time, and you see the cars passing, if they only understood what goes on in this place. Amen. What a great, great place this is. And certainly we want to honor God in this place, in this house. We want to honor God's leader, amen, Bishop Verdell Jones, and to the assistant pastor, Pastor Percy, and to, amen, all of the other affiliated elders and associates and the pastors that are here. Certainly want to recognize the pastors that have come or are part of the fellowship. Amen. He took it down. Pastor Leonard and Pastor Hill are here. And I don't know whether there's any other pastors that I don't recognize. Amen. But certainly we're happy to be here tonight. The last time I was here, amen, and my wife can affirm, we were looking up there and wondering, you know, but I see that there's been some work that went on here. Huh?
Amen.
Y'all were here. I think Pastor Hill was the preacher. Amen. I looked up there, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute now. I know this is not like it's supposed to be. Amen. And I see that so somebody's going to do some painting or something in here, but they're preparing, amen, the walls.
Amen.
Amen. Prepare. Elder Percy is. Yeah. Amen. You do Wahlberg work, huh? All right. Huh? You're a carpenter, but / Wahlberg. Yeah. Getting up there is a little. I know you're going to have to get some scaffolding and get up there if you're going to touch up all those places. But certainly, I can see the work that's going on. Amen. And certainly we want to support that. Amen. For sure. Amen. And certainly in the offerings and what you bring, your tithing and your giving certainly supports the work that goes on. Amen. I don't certainly want to be too lengthy tonight. Amen. One of the things, amen, the fellowship with God is so important to us. Amen. And sometimes people miss that fellowship because they miss the assembly when it gathers. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered, he's there in the midst.
Amen.
And so he's here. Amen. Amen. We've gathered in his name. He's in the room. Amen. And we're just grateful, and we want to honor, amen, the assembly, and we want to honor the people of God. I've been tasked tonight, amen, and my assignment is to talk a little bit from the Psalms and Psalm number 119. I was speaking to Pastor Leonard, and I think I gave her the wrong verses, amen, but she'll have to bear with me, amen. But the verses tonight, amen, are verses number 63, amen, to about verse number 75. And I want to hone in, amen, on one of the verses that's so important to me, that God has been talking to me about it. Amen. And I want to I hope I can get you to see some things tonight to help your walk. We're almost at the end of 2018. And we don't want 2018 is not going to go out in a fizzle. God won't allow it. But we want 2019 to be better than 2018.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that 2018 was bad.
All right.
Amen. But we can do better in the coming year. We're going to have to work hard.
Yeah.
Amen. One of the things that we're going to try to do, which something that in the last 2 weeks, and of course, I've suffered a loss in my family, and the Spirit of God began to talk to me about the priesthood, and about, I think sometimes the people in the assembly look up here and they see us as the only priests, but that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we are royal priesthood. Huh? That's all of us. And so we all got to get out there and start being the priests that we're supposed to be. Now, what happens is Bishop and myself and others have been assigned, amen, work detail, if you will, and our title are for order. They're not separating us from you, but every assembly has to have order. Amen. In order to move forward, we have to have order. But everybody here that's saved is a priest.
All right.
Y'all had to agree. Read the Scripture.
Amen.
We are a royal priesthood. That's all of us, not just us. Amen. And some of us, I'm going to say, some of us are born into a priestly family because we had godly parents and they worked in the priesthood. And so that was that portion. But if you can recall, Eli was born into a priestly family. He was a Levite. All right? But Samuel wasn't. Samuel got adopted into the family. So if you don't think you win, I adopt you in right now. You're in the priesthood. All right? You're adopted in the priesthood. All right? So we're all priests. So next year, amen, and even in this year, we can go out and do some things that's going to, amen, enhance, amen, the kingdom of God. It's so important. This age, I watched a little young lady go over there, and what does she do? What does she do over there? Y'all were watching. Plugged up what? Charging up something, right? When I came along, guess what? No such animal. Right? We didn't have no phone. Everybody got a phone in their pocket. Uh-huh. Y'all can talk and text and all the rest. Don't make me look over there and tell you that it ain't true. I got one, too. And I turn it off right now because I don't want anybody to disturb me, amen, while we're doing the work of the Lord. But I want to show you that this is the age we're living in. It's a different time, amen, than what many of us were raised up in. And so we're going to have to step up our game, amen, and do some things that are a little different than what we've been doing. Now, I'm just throwing that in as a part. Tonight, I want to talk about, amen, the area of are you in compliance, amen, with what God is doing? Are you in compliance? Compliance. And I'm going to use a few words, and I'll try to define them so you'll try to understand where we're going, all right? Psalm number 119, if you will, and I'm starting to read at verse number 65. Now, if you have a Bible and you'll notice that above that there is the word teth, all right? You notice that? Okay, that's actually a part of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the Psalm 119 uses the 20 letters, the 16 letters, whatever it is, of the Hebrew alphabet. And so you have this breakdown, amen, by the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. All right. Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment, all right, and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercies, for your kindness, O God. Stretch forth your hand now, O God. Give clarity and understanding of speech. Give an open heart, O God, and a mind to receive, O God. Hallelujah. What thou would speak unto us. Glorify yourself, O God. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse number 71. All right. It is good for me that what? I have been afflicted. Hallelujah. That I might do what? The only way God has a way of afflicting us, amen, or challenging us to some things so we might learn and understand what he wants out of our life. Y'all gonna stand? Or do I have to? Y'all can stand. All right? Now, some of us are going through some things, and what we want to do is to argue, amen, about that challenge, and perhaps a lot of times, and some of them can even come out of the human side of you. But remember, God can use everything to try to get you, amen, to understand what he wants. Amen. He can use an affliction. He can use a cold. Amen. He can set you down. You get a cold, you go lay in the bed, and what you'll do is you'll read the word. But if you don't get the cold, guess what'll happen? You won't read the word. Amen. God will let you break a leg. Amen. Or have an affliction in your body so that you can understand his will. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about the word statutes. Amen. I want to explain to you in just a few minutes that there were four basic categories of scripture that tell us the things that God wants. Most of us know the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We understand those ten. We read them, and they've been taught to us as a child. They're a part, amen, of the characteristic traits that you, if you've ever been around a church anywhere, you'll hear them and you'll see them written, amen, on walls and in places, all right? There's the Ten Commandments, amen. Then, amen, the next category is statutes. When you read them carefully, you'll find out that most of them govern personal behavior, amen. And that's when you read here, I've been afflicted so that I might understand what he wants out of me. Amen. What is God asking you to do this year? Amen. What has he talked to you, amen, about this year? What has he sent, amen, when his word or when you come to church? Amen. Something that he's saying, he's trying to reach you. He's not preaching just to be preaching. Amen. It doesn't make any sense to be a sounding brass or a tinkle cymbal, amen, that doesn't get anything done. Amen. But the word of God, the Bible says, it will not return unto him void. Amen. So what's happening? And a lot of times when we ignore it, everybody, and well, I won't say everybody's guilty. I'm guilty. Amen. You don't have to say you're guilty. When you throw your hands up and confess, then God forgives, amen, the stuff that you didn't get done. Amen. But he's still got to get it done. Perhaps somebody else went and got that job done. Amen. Sometimes God has to knock you off your feet to get you to understand what he wants out of your life. Amen. And he'll do it. Amen. Yes, he will. Amen. Some of us that resisted God, we know what it's all about. Amen. He begins to talk to you and move you. Amen. He wants you to understand his statutes. They govern your personal life. Some of us got some shady personal lives that call ourselves Christian. Amen. They're shady. We do funny stuff when we're out of sight. Amen. We do strange things. Amen. We get into strange things. Amen. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of that old nature, you know. That old man didn't die when we got baptized. Amen. All you did was come up, and you needed to go and find out what God wanted you to do. Amen. His statutes are important. They govern your character. Yes, they govern where you're going this year. Where you're going not only for the rest of this year, there's 2 weeks or 3 weeks left, 21, 22 days, whatever it is. Amen. Next year, the statutes will govern your behavior. Yes. Amen. And God wants you to get it right going forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you got to preach, amen, repentance to the church. Yes, you do. Amen. Because we're guilty of violations. And that's why, amen, we don't get it done like we ought to. Obedience. Bishop talk. Amen. I believe that you got to be obedient to leadership. Amen. You got to obey, amen, what the man of God or the woman of God over you tells you to do. Amen. You can't go about doing your own thing. Amen. That's one of the problems of this new age. Amen. We have a group, amen, that where we are, the age group we're in, we're having trouble reaching that group because we're not technologically smart. All right? We can plug that thing into the wall too, but she knows what to do with it. Guess what? I don't remember about it. Right? Amen. This phone. Amen. It used to be we had to run to find a phone on the corner. There's no more phone booths. Amen. There ain't no phone booth nowhere. Amen. That day is gone. Amen. So change has come. Amen. And so we've got to get smart. What is God saying about this age? You know what he said about your time. What is he saying about this time? This age, this technological age. Amen. And so we've got to learn some things, and we got to move some things around a little differently, even in our own life. You got to be careful. This is good, but also got some bad stuff about it. Yes, it does. I don't know where all these texts come asking me to come to some, with some strange woman someplace. Amen. They pop up. amen, all the time, amen. And when you use your email address and you send it out there, they sell you to somebody else who sells you to somebody else who sells you to somebody else. And all of a sudden, you see all of these solicitations, amen, in your email. Where'd they all come from? From somebody who sold somebody who sold somebody who sold somebody. And you got to be careful. You can't let this thing drag you away from Christ. And it can't drag you away from Jesus. Amen. Amen. His statutes. Amen. I've been afflicted sometimes. Amen. Because I haven't done exactly what I should have done. Amen. I got to be careful of where my eyes go. Amen. Yes, I do. Amen. I'm a man. Listen, I'll tell you like it is. Amen. That's the way it is. Amen. And you got to be careful. Good thing summer's past. And that's all I can say. I like when winter comes because y'all closed up. Amen. Y'all have to be bothered. Amen. But y'all showing out. Y'all have to like it anyway. It's true anyhow. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Amen. So you have the commandments, which the laws are very, very strong. Amen. And they tell you what to do. They tell you what the consequences are if you don't do. All right. You have the statutes. They also tell you what to do. Amen. The next is ordinances. Amen. Which one of y'all passed that red light? Huh? What? No. What? Oh, you did? See, I know there was somebody in here who passed the red light. Amen. The ordinances are to govern civil behavior. All right? The Bible said the powers that be are ordained of God. That means that the policeman is authorized. Amen. And there are times where you can pass the light when that light is in the way of life or death. Amen. The light is there, but they kind of allow you to kind of let you slip by, right? But most of us, amen, some things we don't pay no attention to. Bishop and I were just talking about the laws of the land, the new tax laws. Now, tax time's coming up. If you cheat on your taxes, guess what? You're a liar. I'm not making that up, right? If you cheat, you're a liar. You're telling the government or you're telling the authority that this is what happened. Now, I'm not saying if ignorantly, a lot of times we have ours made out by somebody else and maybe we left something off or didn't get there. That's a different story. That's not lying. That's just you forgot it, right? And so they call you and they say, oh, you still owe $3.32. And you send a check or you find some way to send $3.32 to pay off the federal government. Amen. But if you cheat on your taxes, you're not obeying the ordinances of God. It says to obey, amen, those that have rule. Amen. And there's ordinances against lying and cheating. Guess who's first in line when you get to Revelation, amen, and judgment comes down, right? Liars. They're right at the head of the line. Amen. So you got to be careful, amen, that doesn't get into your character. Anybody cheated on their taxes? Don't you raise your hand. You got another opportunity this year not to do that, all right? But the only way you're going to learn that is to suffer the consequences. What happens is folks cheat because they want that extra, amen, discretionary money that they can go buy something. Amen. Be careful. Amen. You don't need that discretionary piece if it's going to cost you salvation. Amen. You got to give that up. Amen. Oh, I owe them $4,000. Well, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to pay the $4,000 that you owe rather than cheat and get back to. Amen. God is not going to stand for that. Amen. Now, you could get away with it with Trump, but you won't get away with it with God. I want you to be careful. Understand, amen, that the assembly, the people that come here, they do these things. You get it. The word afflicted means that he gave me some trouble or I got some trouble in order that I might learn his statute. Well, what's the rule? Sometimes God's rules hurt me personally. Amen. That's because my flesh, amen, suffers. Amen. When I have to walk with God, amen, sometimes it's painful sometimes to walk with God. Amen. It's easy to do something else. Amen. But be careful because doing something else is outside of the will of God. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The last one it talks about is judgment. If you go back up there, it says, teach me good judgment. Amen. The last category that we find, we have laws, we have statutes, amen, we have ordinances that governs civil behavior, and then we have judgments. We have rules, amen, that are set up. There's no rule that said thou shalt not smoke crack. Not in the Bible. But you know better than that, right? There's no rule that says you shall not smoke marijuana. It's not there. Amen. That's, you know, John 1:1. No, that ain't it. No. Timothy 1:2. No, it ain't there. No, it ain't there. Amen. But you know that you're not supposed to do that. Amen. You need to make good judgments, decisions this year. Amen. Are you making good judgments and decisions now? Well, sometimes it hurts you to make a good judgment. The Bible says do it even to your own heart. Hurt. Right? You got to make the right choice. Amen. This year coming. Amen. And if you're doing it now, I'm cautioning you. Now. Amen. You've been afflicted so that you might learn what the statute is. And now sometimes you don't know what it is in the natural, which means that, you know, it's written out there. But even written out there, we'll ignore it. That red light is as red as it is red. You know you ain't supposed to go through that light, but you do it anyway. Well, you shall suffer the consequences of doing that. You're blessed if you just get a ticket, because most of the time you run into an accident and bend your car up, and there's a $5,000 problem. Amen. Huh? Less than five? Yeah, well, we won't talk about that anymore. All right? Let's talk a little bit about what we're supposed to do. Let's use some of the examples in Scripture, amen, that understand some things about God. Amen. I want to go back and look at Jacob. Now, you remember Jacob. We don't have time. I could pull all this up, but we're not going to. We're just trying to fill this in for you, all right, real quick. Now, Jacob and his brother Esau had a little problem, right? They were twins, and one came out before the other. You remember the story, right? You remember the account in the Scripture, right? So, but the prophecy is that the elder shall serve the younger, all right? But Jacob, in his wisdom, didn't understand or didn't want to wait on God to make a move, right? So what he does, along with his hustler mother, all right? I'm going to say that like it is. That's what she was. She was a hustler, all right? Uh-huh. Because you sometimes mothers know how to get around dads, you know, how to get around, all right? You got to be careful. Hey, man, she was a hustler. But her brother was a hustler, too, so that's probably where she learned it. But I don't know which one was the oldest. It doesn't tell us in Scripture. Amen. But her brother was a hustler, too, all right? You remember, he's going to hustle Jacob for 20 years. Amen. The only thing that saves Jacob is God is on his side. The only thing that's saving you sometimes is the grace of God, amen, that keeps you, amen, out of jail and out of situations and circumstances. If God doesn't step in sometime, amen, and sometime he got to step in there quick when you pass that red light and just missed that car, amen. God stepped in and moved the car or slowed it up, amen, so you wouldn't have that accident, amen. Jacob, amen, goes off for 20 years, amen, and he's serving, amen, his slick Uncle Laban, who's just as slick as he is. Amen. Remember now, he had already outdid his brother Esau, right, and stole the blessing. Amen. All he had to do was wait. He was going to get it anyway. Amen. But what he did, now remember this affliction, God uses this down the road, all right, down the road. Remember, he's a patriot. He's one of those people we can look at and see what he's done. Amen. So he goes off and he spends 20 years. Then his slick brother, his slick Uncle Laban gives him the wrong woman. Amen. He gets the wrong woman, right? Because he got drunk. Amen. Now listen, drunk in Scripture means inebriated. But some of us get inebriated in life. Amen. We make drunk decisions. You got to make good judgment decisions. Amen. And God's decisions, amen, if you're doing it right, will always work out right. But you might have to suffer a while. Huh? You might have to suffer a while until he comes through. Amen. The worst thing about some things about working with God is a lot of times you got to wait for God to show up. Amen. The toughest part about that is not the yes or the no, it's to wait a while. Amen. We got to wait till God shows up. Amen. So Jacob does his thing, Laban does his thing, and they have this big, this confrontation. All right? This confrontation. They're fighting one another to see who's going to come out ahead. God is on Jacob's side, and that's just the grace of God because of the prophecy. God has made promises, amen, but he will bless you with them, but he expects you to change your character. We're going to get to the point here in just a second, amen. So Laban, he tricks him one last time. Jacob says to himself, I've had enough of this. I'm out, right? So he gathers, amen, his wives, and he gathers his children, right? And he heads back towards, amen, his homeland. Amen. He heads back. Amen. And what happens is he understands that Esau is going to get him. Huh? Esau looking for him, right? He comes to a place called Jabbok. I want you to write that one down, if you will. Jabbok is going to be a place where you have to empty out yourself. God wants you to get rid of some stuff. All right? In order for you to do his will, you got to get rid of some stuff. Well, what is it? I don't know. It's all about you. All right? God is not about me. He's about you. All right? It's about you. It's me and God. God wants me. My life and your life, they're different because we're in different environments. We don't go to the same grocery stores. We don't drive the same car. Amen. We don't have the same job. But God is working on you and your character. Amen. That the statutes that he wants to put into you will bring out the character that's going to get you from here into the heavens. Yes. Amen. You can't go to heaven until you get all of this right. Yes. Amen. Nobody in heaven is going to get there until they get it right here. Amen. And the best part about this is you're in the best place to get it right in the church. If the people of Paris understood what we preach and teach, amen, and the glory, amen, that shall be revealed in us, amen, I can't wait to get to heaven, amen. And my prayer is, Lord, just count me worthy, amen, to make it, amen. Now, you still need grace to get there, amen. You still need his grace, amen, and his mercy to get you into the heavens. Amen. And so he gets to the river Jabbok. And what he does is he sends everybody across but himself. Uh-huh. Amen. And he stays behind. Amen. And what he does that night, the Bible says, he wrestled with a man. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. A lot of times I want you to know, because a lot of times you're wrestling with yourself. Amen. To try to do the will of God. Y'all had one of the wrestle nights. Huh? Y'all have some wrestle night. Y'all have some wrestle time. Amen. That's God wrestling with you to try to get you to do what's right. Huh? Y'all don't have no wrestle nights? Stick around. Life will bring you some wrestle nights. Yes, it will. You'll learn to wrestle with God. Amen. But one thing for sure, he's going to come out on top. Amen. As you recall, amen, when Jacob left that man at night, the Bible says he walked with a limp. The rest of his life, amen, the Bible says his hip was out of joint. Hallelujah. But he went across the river, and God showed him mercy. The only thing his brother could do was fall on his neck, amen, and kiss him, amen, and gave him back all his stuff. Amen. When you get it right with God, stuff will change for you. Huh? Yes, it will. Ain't that right? You want things to change this year coming? You struggling? You've been afflicted? You're in an afflicted situation right now? Perhaps it's God trying to tell you, here's what I want you to do. Time to move to a better place in God this year. You need to move to a higher place in God. You got to obey his precepts. That's the concepts around, amen, where you're supposed to go. Amen. Different places have different precepts and concepts. Amen. You can learn those. Amen. But the surrounding of the whole surrounding peace is God is in it. Amen. To save you. Amen. He's in it to save you. He's in it to save us. Amen. Individually. One by one, we're going to be saved. The next thing I want to talk to you real quick about Job. You remember that guy, right? Remember him? Look at the affliction that God put him through. Amen. Huh? That was God's doing. Yeah. Huh? Don't think because you got sick that it's all because of the sickness. No, God can bring sickness if he desires. Amen. He usually doesn't do it that way. What he does is let you go out and get sick on your own, and then he uses that. Yeah, them greens you ate last night along with them feet that you shouldn't have ate and all that pork and grease and whatever else, and then you want to claim, you know, no, that's not what it is. Amen. And God can use some of those times to teach you how dietary laws will help you sleep at night. Amen. You don't have to be sick. All right. Is the Bible is true? You don't have to be sick. Amen. Huh? But our human self says we want things that sometimes ain't no good for us. You're afflicting yourself. God can use that to teach you what you should do. Amen. There were dietary laws in the scripture. Now, folks that say, well, wait a minute. Those ain't no good and they're no longer valued or valuable. I don't believe that, do you? Every word of the scriptures is profitable. Huh? For teaching, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. You want to be holy, you use that. Amen. It tells you what you can eat and what's better for you. Amen. It ain't gone nowhere. It's still there. But you're not going to be judged by it to the same sense that Israel was judged by it. But eating healthy is a good thing. Amen. Eating good is a good thing. Here we have Job. He loses everything, right? He, even his friends come up and challenge him about his relationship. One of the things I want to tell you today is don't let folks challenge you about your relationship. Jehovah's Witnesses are bold, and there's some other groups of Muslims are bold, and these other groups are bold. Amen. But let me tell you, they don't know what we know. All right. They don't know what we know. They don't have what we have. Amen. They don't know what we know. Amen. Amen. They're trying to challenge you. Most folks, one of the things that I found out, folks that are failing will want you to enjoy their failure. Uh-huh. They want you to be included in their failure. And I don't want to be in their failure. Sometimes you got to walk alone. Sometimes walking with God is a lonely life. Yes, it is. Amen. Sometimes your companion won't even know. Uh-huh. I was looking over there to see if I saw him over there. All right? He back there someplace. But you understand? The same thing with mine. Your companion is in it for herself. We're connected because we're married. But there were times when, amen, your companion just won't understand it either. Amen. Amen. There's a relationship between you and God. It's not you and God and wife or you and God and husband. It's you and God. Amen. And you just got to do what you're supposed to do. Now, it will never injure the relationship between the two of y'all. Never. Amen. That's not where God is. He's not in separating. Amen. He's in building and putting together. Amen. Here, Job and his wife, the bigger. What's the first thing she does? She's been with him for all these years, got 10 kids, and what's the first thing she says? Curse God and die. Don't even make sense. Why? Amen. Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked I go yonder. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You afflicted, raise your voice and say, Lord, I just want to say I thank you. Yes. Amen. I just want to say thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. His friends come and challenge him about, amen, what he's going through and where he's going and what's happening to him. Amen. You get all the way to chapter. They have this confrontation and their voices, they talking back and forth, amen, two times, amen. And then a little old guy, amen, steps up and said, y'all don't know what you're talking about, amen. And then finally, amen, God challenges Job and said, where were you? Hallelujah. Where were you? Amen. When God said, this is what I want of you. Where were you, Job? Amen. Can you tell me? Amen. When the conies bring forth, amen, can you pull out Leviathan with a hook? Amen. Where were you? Amen. Hallelujah. Where were you? Where were you? Amen. God is working out our salvation. Amen. It's in his hands. Amen. It is of him. Amen. And to him and for him that we live and move and have our being. Amen. You got to work, amen, with what God throws your way sometimes. But he's doing it to teach you his statutes, to teach you his way, to make you understand, amen, what's going on. Amen, I got a whole lot more. Amen, I got to cut across the field and stop. Amen, I just want to, amen. Jesus, in Isaiah 53 and 7, the Bible said he was afflicted and wounded. Amen, for what source? For our, amen, redemption. Amen. Sometimes God is working on you, amen, for your own redemption. A lot of times he's talking to you about somebody else. But if he is, he wants you to be a priest about it. Amen. Yeah. Priests are humble. Amen. They're smart. They're wise. Amen. They know how to handle it. Amen. He doesn't want you to just challenge people, but he wants you to teach them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Teach. The Bible says he wants us to pass this on to others who can teach others. I better not use him. Amen. He's a little older than me. I'm going to use myself. The folks under us, it's time for them to take charge. We have to step aside. We're running out of time. Amen. And the technological age is upon us. The last 20 years have seen things that we've never seen before. Amen. I don't know how. Let me see. When I get my first phone, maybe a little more than 10 years ago, maybe a little more. Amen. And then, of course, the booth starts shutting down. You had to get a phone, right? So they're pushing and pulling us, remember, into their, right, social area, right? Well, when they push us that way, we want to be godly. Amen. So what do we do about the things that come? Amen. If we just use them, amen, and we don't pay attention, amen, and we don't watch them, and we're not careful, amen, they will consume us. Huh? We want to be careful. Amen. That's what teaching is about. That's what the assembly is about. It's about warning and showing you. Amen. Sometimes you just got to take down. There's some things you just can't do in God. Amen. God has rules against it. Amen. Even though it sounds good. Our pastor and bishop says all the time, amen, every good idea is not a God idea. Amen. You got to be careful with the things that go on. Amen. And Jesus, amen, he is afflicted. Amen. He's wounded and bruised in order that the will of God, amen, might come out of his life. Amen. So Jesus, amen, is the, and the Bible also says that if we be sons and daughters, then we can't be without chastisement. All right? If we be without chastisement, we use that, you know, that word we don't like to say, that word we used to say when we was out there. And it means, I won't say it, but it means that you don't know your father. It's not that you don't have a father. It means that you don't know your father. All right? And so Christ wants us. You'll read about that in Hebrews and in 1 Corinthians. He chastens us. Yes. Amen. Now, our fathers chastened us after their understanding. But God chastens us after his understanding. Right. Amen. And it's always good for us. Amen. Tonight, are you in compliance? Compliance. The world that we live in, the lights, they can't be put up unless they follow rules. The electrician can't come here and wire that and miswire it and it causes a fire. He has to be compliant to the rules, all right? The people that lay the floor, the people that put up the walls, amen, they have to be compliant. Yes, even assistant pastor, he can't use certain putty, amen, but they probably don't even sell it anymore, amen. But years ago, there might have been something in that putty that would be dangerous to you, asbestos. You can't use that anymore, amen. If you do, you're out of, but it didn't say there wasn't any more around. It just says that it's no good, right? But people will still use it if they can, and it's just folks that don't understand. Amen. Be careful. Amen. You must come into compliant with what God wants of you. Amen. You must be complicit with him. Amen. You have to work with him. He's working with you all the time. Amen. But you have to work with him. And a lot of times you have to give up some things. In order to be saved, you're going to have to give up some things. Just tell it like it is. You're going to have to give up some stuff. Amen. Some things that pleasure you, you got to give them up. Amen. Because he says, amen, that there's going to be some suffering. Amen. If you're over on this side, amen. What does he do? He troubles us, amen, that we might learn his statutes, that we might understand what he wants out of us. This year coming, this 22 days that you have left in this year, one of the things that you have to do is to be committed. Amen. Now, commitment doesn't mean I put a piece of, write my name on a piece of paper and say I'm going to get it done. It has to come from your inner being. Commitment is inside of you. Amen. You have to be committed to Christ. You got to be committed to allow him, amen, to lead and guide you. You have to be committed to allow him to move in you. Let's all stand, if you will. Hallelujah. If you can. I've been afflicted, that I might learn his statutes. Let me just give you one last one. Last week, I found out one of my brothers, my youngest brother, passed away. And I know some things now, of course, and of course I've known him for a long time. The word of God is going to come true. So it says, if you get to be 70 years old, fine. And if you, by reason of strength, get to be 80, the Bible says there's trouble and sorrow. A part of that sorrow is to see your siblings and others that you've known for years pass on and pass out of this life. And that pain is something that you have to endure. It's a part, it makes the scriptures alive. It makes the truth of the word of God true. Amen. And so his dying makes the word of God true. Amen. We all have to die. We all got to go that way. And the pain that's left behind, God said it was going to be there. And so those of us that are still alive, that are connected to that, we understand that pain. We feel that pain. And the word of God, amen, afflicts me in that way. Amen. But let me tell you, I'm rejoicing. Amen. In the goodness of God that he spared my life. Amen. These years. Amen. And he'll spare yours too. Amen. If you're here today and you've been afflicted, it may, perhaps there's something going on in your life. You just need someone to touch and agree, amen, with you, that God, amen, is going to work it out for you. Amen. Perhaps you don't know what he's trying to work out in your life. Amen. The things that you need to know. Amen. There's some things, amen, that God works out because he afflicts you. Amen. His statutes, the rules that he set for you. Amen. They come in. They really just surface themselves. Oh, amen. You have one of those light bulb moments in your life where the light turns on. Amen. And you're here tonight. Amen. We offer unto you Christ Jesus. Amen. Who is the Savior of the world. He's the deliverer. Amen. He'll set free. Amen. Perhaps you're going through something. Just need someone to pray with you. Amen. To help you over. Amen. Over that hill. Past that moment. Amen. If you're here today, we offer Christ to you. Amen. Our altar workers are here. You can come. Amen. Receive prayer. Amen. From one of our altar workers. Amen. God is waiting on you. Amen. All right, so you're afflicted, so it hurts a little bit. Amen. Ask God to help you, amen, to understand it. Amen. And you don't always understand God's ways. Amen. Sometimes, amen, he kind of pitches you a curve. You think you're ready to hit the curve. Amen. But really, he strikes you out. Amen. You said, gee whiz, how did I miss that? Well, you don't have to miss. Amen. You don't have to strike out. Amen. God is waiting to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Get in compliance. Are you in compliance with him? Amen. It means that you know and understand what he's trying to work out in your life. Amen. And he's working on you. Amen. To make you better. Amen. He ain't working on you to hurt you. He's working on you to make you better. Amen. Today's the day of salvation. Today is your day. Amen. Won't you come? Amen. I was afflicted that I might learn and understand his statutes.
God's unchanging hands. Hold to his hands. God's unchanging hands. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Hold to his hands. God's unchanging hands. Hold to his hands. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Hold to his hands. God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hands. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
Wonderful word. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you in compliance? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In my lifetime, in my career, I was a compliance officer. They call it collection officer, but it was all compliance. If you didn't pay your tax, then you had to see the tax man to bring you into compliance. So I know about that. Certainly with God, amen, many of us are delinquent. All of those folks that I had to go see, they were delinquent. They knew they owed the money, but they wouldn't pay it. Until I went and knocked on that door, I put a lien on that bank account, I seized the automobile, then they came in compliance. That's what God does sometimes. That's what the preacher talks about. Sometimes I had to just, okay, you don't want to pay your bill? I'm going to take your car. Or I'm going to freeze your bank account. Then they come crying. Now they're going to, they should have been in compliance all along. But sometimes God has to step in, and sometimes we think it's the devil. No, God is trying to get you. The writer said, he said, I was afflicted. Not because of that I might learn God's statutes. God does that to us. So don't complain sometime when things don't go right. And I wrote myself a note because when he was talking about if you cheat on your taxes, you're a liar. You know, I remember first part of the year, I think I told you this before, I got a check from the IRS for $10,000. I said, woo, Lord have mercy. Most folk would say, what a blessing. I said, they don't owe me no $10,000. I even called them. And they looked it up and said, that's it. It's online, so. I said, no, I don't, you don't owe me no $10,000. And I had to forcibly send $10,000 back to them to show them they made a mistake. Now, they might have never caught it. I wasn't worried about the IRS. I was worried about God. God already had caught it. I could get away with the IRS, but I couldn't get away with God. So I sent that $10,000 back. I made a copy of the check before I sent it back. So at least I saw my name with $10,000 on it. But it wasn't mine. So, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe the Lord was testing me. He made that machine make a mistake, send me a $10,000 check and see what I was going to do with it. So you never know. God to test your faith and your resolve to do the right thing. So we thank God. What a powerful message. Amen. I appreciate that so much. God bless. Let us get in compliance with what God requires. Hey, glory to God. We love you tonight. We certainly praise God for you for being a part of this Tri-City Fellowship, close out 2018. Just as we have announcements, we will be in service that Monday night, December the 31st, 10 o'clock till the New Year's Day on that Tuesday. We'll be here praising and magnifying the Lord, and we will be fellowshipping together and, amen, having communion and foot washing. And also at the end of the service on the New Year's Day, we'll sit down and dine on breakfast and just have a good old fellowship. Then we'll go home. So if you're not doing anything, we invite you to come and be a part of that service. Amen. Certainly are welcome. We're glad tonight to have two other pastors in our Tri-City Fellowship. We started out with six churches, and of course, Pastor Holt's church is no longer a part of it because he's physically unable to continue his church. And we had a church that was not a part of the PCF, was a part of the PAW, and the PAW started a similar type fellowship that was Pastor Sanford. This Sanford, yeah. So he had to drop out because his district elder wanted him obviously to come and be a part of that fellowship. So we're down to three. We're probably next year gonna be back up to five. We used to have six of them, but we decided not to do the one in February. it may be 10 feet of snow out. You just don't know. So we just dropped February altogether. Was it February we had? I think it was in February. So we don't have that anymore. So we're going to have five. We still have five. Pastor Hill and I hosted two of them this year to make sure that we had them all five of them in. So we hope to pull in at least two other churches during 2019. We'll let you know all about that. And we have some other things planned on how we're going to conduct things in 2019 as far as the Tri-City Fellowship, what we might want to do differently. We have some suggestions. My wife has been talking to me about it. She put forth some information. I looked at it, and I think I'm amenable to that, and we're going to do something a little different. And then I'll be talking to Pastor Hill and Pastor Leonard, see if what they might want to do. They might not want to do what I'm going to do. I might not want to do what they're going to do, but to do something different than what we have been doing as part of an outreach to our community. So I'll be talking to you about that in not too distant future. We're glad tonight to have our pastors with us. Amen, my friend. Always. We were together last